Coming. Check, check, check. There it is. Hey, guys. Hey, I'm so glad you're here. I don't know about you guys, but I missed all of you on Wednesday night. I was glad for the snow, but I was so sad that we didn't get to have youth group and get to be together. Anybody do anything fun in the snow? I know I already asked that, but who lost their dog in the snow? I lost my dog in the snow. We took him out that first morning to go to the bathroom, took a step, just completely gone. We still have not found him. We're hoping he comes. No, I'm just kidding. He's fine. You guys all got super scared there, didn't you? You're like, no, not the dog. But hey, guys, I'm so excited to hop into week two of our prayer series. It's going to be a good one today because I don't know about you guys. I have selective hearing. Any of you guys selective hearers in here? Don't tell my wife this. I'm sharing this with you guys in confidence. So if you guys tell my wife on Wednesday, I'm going to be very disappointed. But there's a lot of times that I hear her and don't respond. Okay, don't tell her that. I'll be like sitting on the couch watching basketball or football or something. And she'll be in the other room. She's like, Nate, I need your help. Come help me. And I'm just like, I ain't getting up. I'm just going to make it seem like I didn't hear her at all. I know you guys do that with your parents. Your parents are like, hey, Johnny, I need to take out the trash. 20 minutes go by. They come back. Why didn't you take out the trash? Oh, you act all dumb. I didn't hear you. I promise. Right, we selective hearing, I think, is something that a lot of us have. But what selective hearing comes down to is our ability to listen. Are we listening? And as we enter into week two of our prayer series, I think when we come to the topic of prayer, we think prayer is just us talking. How many of you guys have that friend, or maybe you're that person that just never stops talking? You're like, you're with, do you say that's not you? We all know that person that is just always talking, and I think that's what we think prayer is it's just like, how many words can I get into my five-minute session with God, and then I end it with amen. Hey, let's lock in. Prayer, though, as we're going to dive into today, is a conversation. I know that sounds so cliche, but as we talked about last week, is prayer is our ability to enter into relationship with our Father, and if we are truly to be into relationship, why would he not talk back? If it was a true relationship, if God is good, if he's our Father, wouldn't he talk back? But a lot of the times we don't see that he talks back. We just think it's us and how we can speak to God. And so today we're going to talk about how God speaks. Everybody say, God speaks. That was like all over the place. Let's all say it together. Ready? One, two, three. God speaks. There we go. Let's go, bro. I love the passion today. You guys are going for it. All right. Hey, we got to lock in. You guys are a little squirrely right now. But right, listening to God's voice, I don't know if you guys know this, but this is probably one of the most important aspects of being a Christian. Being a disciple of Jesus, following God, one of the most important things that we have to do is listen. Listening to God's voice leads us to the spot where we are led by God. We know his ways. We know his will. He leads us into obedience to love God and love others, the two greatest commandments. But if we're not willing to listen, if we're not willing to hear what he has to say, we're never going to be truly great followers of Christ. I know, that was so powerful, I know. But what does it mean that God speaks, right? I think we have so many different like misconceptions maybe of how God speaks. Maybe it's just this booming voice from the sky. It's like Elias stopped talking during Nate's sermon, you know. Just kidding. Or maybe it's like a fortune cookie. You go to like a Chinese restaurant, you open it up, and it's like, you're going to probably get hurt in 5 minutes, so better watch out. And you're like, is that God trying to tell me to watch out? Or maybe, how many of you guys have heard the story of Moses and the burning bush? No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to light on fire. I would definitely get fired for that one. But right, we've all heard of Moses and the burning bush. It's all these different ways that God has spoken. But how many of you guys feel discouraged? How many of you guys have actually said, I've never heard the voice of God before? How many of you guys are like, it's so discouraging, like some people come and they're like, yeah, I heard the voice of God and he's telling me to say this to you. And you're like, that must be nice to hear the voice of God. I wish I could do that. You're like, the connection between me and God seems a little distant right now. Maybe the cell connection between me and him is interrupted. Or maybe some of us are at a spot where we're like, if I'm honest, I don't want to hear what God has to say. Anybody else like that? You're like, man, if I took time to listen to what God had to say, I don't know if it'd be what I wanted to hear. And so we disconnect. And so this morning, in a spot where hearing God's voice can maybe sound like a daunting task, be so discouraging, I want us to look to his word. I want us to dive into some areas where maybe God is speaking and we just haven't seen it yet. God is speaking to us as his children. And may we not lose heart, but would we seek the areas that maybe we haven't thought about? Maybe would we take an outside perspective and say, man, God is speaking. And as I said, if we are his children, he's going to speak to us. We established last week that God is our Father. And if he is a good Father, he will speak to us. Let's look at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. If you guys want to follow along on the screen. It says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. And the gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice." Can you guys say, "hear his voice"? "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought his own outside, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice." So say, "know his voice." So we have "hear his voice" and "know his voice." "But they will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers." Often the question is not, is God speaking? But is it, do we know his voice? Do we listen to Psalms 46:10? It says, "Be still and know that I'm God." We live in a world that is so loud, right? We live in a world where we're just all trying to fight for attention, trying to be heard. And God is saying, "I need you to be quiet. I need you to be still and know that I am your Father. Know that I am God. We are children of God, and he's going to reach out to us. He won't leave us wondering and guessing if he's speaking, but he may use other ways than just an audible voice. So this morning, we're going to look at 6 different ways that the Lord can speak to us. And these aren't limited to this, but these are just 6 awesome ways that we probably all get to experience on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis. He may not use all of them all the time, or maybe he's trying to use all of them at the same time just to get our attention. But I want to take a minute real quick, and can we just quiet in our hearts? Would you guys bow your heads with me? Would you open up your hands? And can we just invite the voice of God in today? Maybe some of you guys are having questions. You're doubting, "Man, God, do you even speak? Do you even love me?" And we just need to be quiet and let him speak to us this morning. So God, we invite your presence in. Quiet our hearts. May we know that you are the Lord. God, would you speak? God, you are a good Father. And you don't leave us to wonder if you're leading us, God. So would you break down any misconceptions that we have of your voice? And we experience the truth and light of who you are today. You are the good shepherd, and may we know your voice. And God, would we be willing to just sit and listen? Listening is such a hard task to do, but God, would you just put that in our hearts today to listen? Open up our hearts, open up our minds. And God, would you speak through me today? Would you get me out of the way? And would you speak to all of us? God, would you use me to speak today? God, we give you all the glory, all the honor. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Good stuff. All right, so there's 6 ways that I want to look at today how God speaks. The first one, Jesus. Jesus, the Word of God. How many of you guys remember week 1 of Hebrews when we talked about this passage in Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 through 3? It says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." We are in those last days today. He is speaking to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Jesus is the Word of God. We see in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." A lot of us have questions. A lot of us are looking for answers, right? And we need God to answer. And he has said, "I have." He came about 2,000 years ago. My greatest answer, my greatest words come through the man Jesus. If we have any questions, God, are you good? Are you faithful? Are you true? Do you love? Do you forgive? Jesus gives us the answer of his Son. He says, "I'm good. Here he is. I forgive sins. Here he is. Look at the death on the cross." God is saying, "I am speaking through my Son," and that wasn't 2,000 years ago. That still applies to today. Most questions that we have can be answered through the man Jesus, through the life and the teachings of Jesus can answer any question that we have. The power of the gospel is the greatest way that we hear God speaking. Nothing will compare to Jesus. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, and if we are looking for answers, the one that we should run to first is Jesus. Number 2 is Scripture. How many of you guys love to read your Bibles? I was expecting a few more hands, but that's great. I love the Word. I love the Scripture, right? 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." I think what's so beautiful is that God has spoken through prophets who wrote the Bible. He spoke through the disciples who wrote the New Testament. And he has given us words to live by, words that we can hear him. And it says that he uses it to teach us and to rebuke us, to correct us and train us in the ways of the Lord. But there's a big difference between studying Scripture and praying through Scripture. Studying Scripture is so important. It's such a vital aspect of our walk with Jesus. We should know, man, what does God say? What does his word say? I need to grow in knowledge, and it's beautiful to study the word of God. And we should do that. I love doing that. It's great to go through Bible studies, get with a group of people, and study the word of God. But there's also another aspect to the Scripture that God has intended it for, and it's to speak to us. And we have to go through Scripture prayerfully. How many of you guys have ever heard of the words Lectio Divina? Lectio Divina, this is a word meaning spiritual, or words meaning spiritual reading. And as I said, both are necessary to study, but spiritual reading is such a beautiful thing. One is used to grow in knowledge, and one is to be led by God in how his scriptures may be applicated to our lives and how he's speaking it to us today. There's four steps that we get to do in this Lectio Divina. The first one is read. Seems pretty simple, right? But what we do is we take a smaller passage of Scripture. God will lead us to maybe a few verses, and we take this and we read it slowly. How many of you guys ever did, was it called like Diddles testing or whatever, when you had to read in front of your teacher and see how many words per minute you could read, and you were just like, you just read 600 minutes, words per minute. You know, but that's not what we're doing here, right? Our Bible time much of the time says, okay, I've got 10 minutes. Let's see how many chapters I can read through. But when we spiritually read, we read a passage slowly, and we go through it nice and slow, and we read a few verses, and then we reflect. Everybody say reflect. What do we do to reflect? We read that same passage again, and we ask God the question, what are you trying to get me to see in this passage? What are you trying to get me to learn from you today? Everybody say respond. So we read, we reflect, and then we respond. What do you guys think we're going to do? We're going to read it again. We're going to go through the same passage, and we're going to read it, but then we're going to talk to God about this passage. We're going to say, God, I'm seeing this. This doesn't make sense to me. Why did he do this? Or like, I don't understand. And we talk to God about it, and we respond, and we make it a conversation. And then lastly, we rest. Everybody say rest. What do you guys think we're going to do again? We're going to read it one more time, but this time we're going to sit quietly and breathe and listen. Lectio Divina is such a beautiful place that we get to come and we just get to sit with the words of God and let them speak to us. We're not trying to hurry and get through it, but we're saying, God, your scriptures are so important to me. May they speak to my life today. And God will speak directly if we're willing to sit with those words. So we got Jesus. We got the scriptures. Number three, we've got circumstances. Everybody say circumstances. God will speak through the circumstances of our life. The things that we see and may not even see. Psalms 1:6 says, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. God is making things work together in our life. He is leading our steps. Maybe it's a door open. Maybe it's a closed door. I asked this in my small group. How many of you guys have moved to Colorado Springs recently or at all? Some of you guys, right? God opens doors. He moves you to places. Things open up. And sometimes we're like, God, I need you to do something great in my life, and a circumstance happens. God will open a door. He'll bring a relationship into your life. All through high school, I prayed, God, I want to have a God-loving wife. I want to date someone that is truly awesome. And he brings us maybe a relationship, a connection. He brought me my wife. He will bring circumstances in our life to answer those prayers. He will speak through the things of our life, and it's so beautiful. And some of you guys might be saying, though, if that's the case, I wish God would stop speaking through my life because it kind of sucks. You're like, I hate everything that's going on. You're like, man, these circumstances are not what I wanted in my life. But can I ask you guys, can I encourage you, can we take maybe a deeper look, a little further out point of view, a different perspective, say, God, what are the things in my life, what circumstances, what things have you done that have led me to the place where I'm at today, that you have answered prayers, that you have shown your faithfulness, been good to me? There was a story of me and my brother and my mom. We were driving we had like a little car. It's like a little Toyota something. And it was the middle of winter, as we just experienced tons of snow, right? It's crazy, icy roads. And we're driving along the way, and we get to a stop sign. We're getting ready to turn left. And my mom just like feels this nudge to just stay at the stop sign for like 10 seconds. And there's this truck coming from the other side. And she's like, I'm going to let him go first. She could obviously made it. She just sits there at the stop sign. Lets the truck go in front of her. Truck goes. She pulls out behind him. No kidding, like 10 seconds later, that truck gets in like a terrible car accident. But everybody was okay because it was two trucks that hit each other. But my mom was like, she has told us the story of like God worked in circumstances. She was like, I just felt this need to stay there. If that would have been our car, who knows what would happen to my mom, myself, and my brother when we were little. God will work through random circumstances. They're not random. God is, he's working things out and he's in all of it. Paul D'Arcy says, God comes to us disguised as our life. When we come to a place of prayer, may we ask God to speak through the circumstances. May he lead us. Would he be the good shepherd even when we are not in agreement? We know that he is the one that leads best and towards what is for benefit of us. So we got Jesus, the scriptures. We got our circumstances. Number four, can you guys say desires? I really like this one. How many of you guys have a desire in your heart for something? Anybody have a desire? How many of you, anybody in here like, I have a desire for animals, like I want to be a vet? Anybody like that? Anybody have a desire for music? Anybody have a desire for sports? A few of you guys, right? calm down. I know sports are great. The desires of our heart, though, guys, it's so cool that God places desires and passions in our lives, in our hearts, to show us that he is speaking. All of us have desires, as I said, some vets, some doctors, musicians, athletes, math. Man, I suck at math, but man, some of you guys are good at math, and God is using that in your life. But by listening carefully and critically, we can see that God is answering prayers through the things that he has placed on our hearts. Some of you guys might be asking, God, like, what do you want me to do with my life? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to reach? What good things do you have for me? And you're like, man, I don't feel like God's answering me. But you're like, I have this passion for this. And we can look at these things that God has placed in our lives as answered prayers, that God will place those so that we know he is speaking. But sometimes we hear this lie of just be true to your heart and do whatever you want. Throw off all authority and guidance and just follow your heart. Have you guys ever heard that? I feel like that's such a common thing right now. Just follow your heart. Do what you want. There's a big difference between having a heart that finds delight in God and he writes his desires on our heart and a heart that follows the things of this world. If we look at Jeremiah 31:33, it says, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law on their minds and write it on their hearts." God is using our hearts to speak to us. I will be their God and they will be my people. But what we have to be willing to do is to come and ask God, may that heart, may those desires you have placed in me, may they be of you and may they be clean and pure. Psalms 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Psalms 37:4 then says, "Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." God is working through your desires and passions. He's using all of us. And that's so beautiful is we all have different desires and passions. And we get to see God speaking through all of us in his grand narrative of his goodwill. A heart willing to find delight in God will be spoken to through the desires that have been placed there. If a desire doesn't go away too, I want to encourage you guys with this. If you have this desire, this passion, maybe for a people group or you're like, I'm called to do this. Don't let that die. That might be God placing something that's in your heart that he wants you to act on, to go and to do, to help someone in need, to pursue a career for the glory of God. God will speak through the desires and passions. Number five, can you guys say prophetic? I think there can be a... All right, let's lock in. Number five, the prophetic. I think a lot of the time when we hear the word prophecy or prophetic, we just think of a crystal ball that sees into the future, right? You're like, oh man, like that must be cool to have the gift of prophecy. You can know what's coming in the future. You can predict what's coming. But 1 Corinthians, it gives us a little bit insight of how God uses the prophetic to speak to his people. 1 Corinthians 4:13 says, "But when the one who prophesies speak to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort, God will use others to speak into our lives to strengthen and to encourage us." God will use others to speak to us. How many of you guys have ever had someone come up and say, "I feel like I have a word for you just to encourage you"? Anybody ever had that? Man, one of the best encouragements that I ever had is I was so down and out because I knew that God wanted me to do ministry, and I was at this place in life where that wasn't happening. I was like so discouraged. I'm like, God, I felt like you wanted me to do ministry, and I'm doing like electrical work and working as a waiter at a restaurant. And I had this dear friend of mine come up and say, "God is going to come through. He's going to work it out for good. He's just got you in a different season right now." And that brought me through. That brought me so much encouragement. God will use simple nudges for us to encourage someone. Say, "Your hair looks nice. God sees you." He will use this. And being in tune with God will lead us to help God to speak others to others around us. But we also have to be so careful when we come to this, because a lot of the times we can hear people say, God is telling me to tell you this, or you can say, God is telling me to tell you this, and we have to make sure that it aligns with the words and scripture of God. Someone could come up to you and be like, God wants you to earn all the money in the world. He wants you to just go after these things. And you're like, is that really of God? Like, would he say something like that? And by knowing the scriptures, by reading God's word, we know that Matthew 6:19 says, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin don't destroy it. We know that God's word will lead us when we hear these prophetics, that God is speaking, and if it lines with his word, we know it can be from him. And the last one, number 6, is listening prayer, the Holy Spirit dwelling. Romans 8:9 says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. As believers, we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Say, dwelling in us. The Spirit of God is dwelling in us. He's moving through us, and he is speaking to us. Sometimes the best thing that we can possibly say in our life when we have a question, when we need an answer, we're asking God to speak, is we say nothing at all. We just come and we sit and we let the Spirit of God dwell in us. It's a practice that we get to do daily. Mother Teresa, when asked what she would say when she would pray, she just tells this guy who she's doing the interview with, she says, I don't say anything at all. I just listen. How many of you guys have ever had an idea, a thought, a feeling drop into your mind when you were praying? Anybody ever had that before? You're sitting there praying and God will drop this thought or this idea, or he'll feel like he speaks to you. God's Spirit is dwelling in us. And it's calling us to listen. If Victor and Aiden want to come up, we're going to start getting ready to close. So this morning, I want us to take some time to ask God to answer us, to speak to us. I feel like there might be some of you in here that are discouraged. You're like, man, I just feel like God is not speaking to me. I feel like he's distant, and I need him to speak to me. And by looking at these 6 different ways, we know that God is speaking. He is speaking through so many different circumstances, the desires of our heart. He's speaking through others. And this morning, I just want to take time to ask God to speak. And it could be through, man, God, would you speak to me directly? Or may it be, God, I need you to bring someone to give me a word of encouragement. But I want God to speak this morning. Would you guys stand with me? As we enter into a time of prayer and worship, I want us to spread throughout the whole room. And I want us just to sit with God for just a couple minutes. And I want us to say, God, I'm having these questions. I'm having these doubts. And I want you to ask God, would you speak to me? Maybe it'll be through the revelation about who Jesus is and how good he is. Maybe it'll be a scripture that comes to you. Maybe it'll be that you see that, man, God is guiding my steps. He has led my circumstances. I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. God loves me and he's working things out for good. Maybe it's a desire that he has in your heart. You've been asking God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. Maybe he'll drop a desire in there that you can say, man, that is of God today. Maybe you feel that you have a word of encouragement for someone this morning. Maybe you feel like God is calling you to go and to encourage someone, to give them some comfort today. Would you act boldly on that? Would you pray over one another? And may we just listen and may we sit in silence today and say, God, would your Holy Spirit that is dwelling in me, would it speak to me today? So let's take 5 minutes, let's spread around the room, and let's just ask God to speak to us in all these different ways.